100% locally made. Live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos.
And we're back for another short week. Come on.
Yes.
How are we all feeling this morning after a long weekend? Very long weekend. Ari, you first.
Oh, I haven't had much time to rest, so I'm still feeling quite tired this morning. I've been flat out all weekend.
Sometimes you do have those weekends where you come back to work for a break.
Yeah.
My God.
That's literally what I'm doing.
I need some R&R.
Yes. Don't you worry, Ari. Sit back, relax.
Enjoy
we got you sorted because I'm flying. Yeah. I did nothing but rest all weekend, essentially.
Enjoy the ride.
Oh, yeah, I'm feeling very, very good. You know when you go camping, you just... It just happens that you end up getting like 10, 11 hours of sleep every night.
Oh, my Lord, that's luxury.
Oh, I know. So
it's so good.
Flying. It's like sleep is like nature's coffee. It's unbelievable. It makes you feel so good.
Sure, there's like studies
energy,
around that.
Energy, you know, revitalized.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know if this is groundbreaking science or, like you said, Ari, maybe someone else has already discovered this. But, yeah, all the extra sleep, I feel so good.
Energized and ready for the short week ahead.
100% locally made. Live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos.
So I got home fairly early yesterday from the Blue Mountains.
That's
a little like, long weekend away.
Yeah, nice.
We basically decided to get up early, try and beat the traffic.
Yeah.
So because we were the first home, everyone in the house, the Hamilton Chateau, had been out and about enjoying their long weekend.
Sure.
Siobhan and I took it upon ourselves, like, we'll sort out dinner tonight.
That's nice.
I decided to do like a pork roast.
Oh my gosh, I'm coming to your house next week. Gee,
get some pork
great.
On your fork.
Well, I mean, hold your compliments. Uh-oh. Not great. Pretty dry.
What happened?
I guess I'm not used to cooking for a family of five, you know, like that. I know it was a couple kilos worth of roast.
Yeah.
And this is uncharted territory for me.
Okay.
You know, normally I'm like the old, as small cut of meat as you can get, because it just means Siobhan I've cooked for in the past.
Right.
But so now, because there's five of us, it was like 2 kilos or something like that.
So did you overcook it?
Yeah, must have done.
No.
Must have done. There was still some really nice, like, moist bits.
But a lot of dry.
But there was also some dry bits. The cracker was really good.
That's good.
The most important question I have, gravy or no gravy?
We should have done a gravy.
You should have done a gravy.
I backed myself in. I thought,
it's going to be that good, it won't need it.
Oh, Stephen. Don't worry about that. And to make matters worse, I was in charge of the meat and Siobhan was in charge of potatoes and the greens.
Yeah.
And she's, the potatoes, unbelievable. Best potatoes I think I've ever had.
Well, on balance then, a pretty good meal.
Yeah.
Not due to you though.
I'm getting carried big time.
Here's a tip, right? The dry, if you've got a big piece like that, do a bit of foil around the bottom part, not covering the crackle.
Right.
It keeps it more of the moisture in.
Well, like a boat. You make like a foil boat.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Life, I'm right down. I'll tippity tappity way. Don't worry. I'm getting that one down.
Life is a learning journey.
For live and local news, there's only one.
From our 100% local newsroom in the Hunter, New FM's First at 5.
Morning, Jackie. How's your long weekend?
Morning. It was amazing.
You weren't working here at all, were you? Throughout the days.
No.
Thank God. That is a win, isn't it? Yes. We love that. Win a sting for you. All right. Unfortunately, though, all things have to come to an end and you do have to get back to work.
Mm-hmm.
First story we've got this morning. Lake Mac police appealing for info about some vehicle vandalisers.
Yeah, so we got some vehicle vandalisers in the area. So Lake Macquarie police are appealing for information because there's been a string of incidents where vehicles have been intentionally damaged across the Lake Macquarie area.
Is this like keying? I've seen a few stories about keying.
Yeah, well, not specifically the one that I have. So this happened on March 12. A 41-year-old woman was driving her car north along Waiee Road when a male riding an unregistered motorcycle, which police believe may be related to a few of the incidents, allegedly,
yeah,
threw an object at the vehicle, and that's caused the windscreen to shatter.
Oh,
that is scary, isn't it?
So that's it's a combination situation here. You've got vehicle vandalism plus unregistered motorbikes. This needs to be stopped. Two crimes, one situation. It's not good at all.
Absolutely.
Looking for information then, the cops are, yeah?
Yeah, so they have a bit of information. So it's a green motorcycle with a black fuel tank, and there's been a few incidents around Morissette, Waiee, San Remo and Buff Point that are similar incidents about damaging vehicles that may be related to that motorbike.
Okay. While driving is so dangerous.
That's terrible.
It's an accident, couldn't you?
Yeah,
I can't imagine how scary that would be. Like, there's so many smaller things that happened to me on the road. If my windscreen smashed while I was driving, I'd be freaking out.
Definitely. Now, the next story we've got here is for a dunny hunt. What is that?
Yes, so the Great Dunny Hunt by the Continents Foundation. Is that how, am I saying that correctly?
Probably. Yeah. Well, I say it confidently, we'll believe
it. Yeah, the Continents Foundation, the Great Dunny Hunt. Back from the long weekend, going good. So it's a national public toilet map which they have, and each year they're inviting locals from the Hunter to help add to that map.
Groundbreaking.
Yeah. Yes. Now, you were talking, like, I did hear you talk about this in the news earlier.
Mm-hmm.
In this app, you can, is it search for public toilets by features? Yes. Now, what sort of features is it? Nice view? Is it like al fresco area? What are features are people searching for?
Well, possibly like accessibility of the toilets. Okay. That might be about some good washing, like hand washing facilities.
Is
like,
there any toilet paper?
Well, you would hope so.
My initial thought was, do you remember, Jackie, last week or the week before, you brought us this story about a pee platter who was flying because he needed to go to the toilet?
Yes.
Do you reckon they've chucked this up to go, they've gone, no more excuses. Download the app, the Dunny Hunt app, you can find it. No more excuses to be flying down the M1 or wherever he's going.
Absolutely. Get the Dunny Hunt app and you... I can't say it. The Dunny Hunt app and you'll be able to find your nearest toilet. No more speeding on the road.
New FM. The Novos.
This is, I guess, not feel good. I'm sorry. I didn't get the memo, Cream. I didn't realise it was Feel Good Tuesday. Because a story I've read is claiming that Canada is currently in the midst of a maple syrup shortage.
What? That's like their literal bread and butter over there.
I know. And if you are having breakfast and you're like dousing it on your pancakes, maybe not so liberal.
Could
be in a bit of trouble here. I know a lot of people might be sitting at home thinking, oh, well, how does it affect me that Canada's, you know, having a shortage? Unlucky Canada. Sucks to suck. But like you mentioned, Ari, it is their bread and butter. It's what they're known for. It's the homeland of maple syrup, and they produce apparently 75% of the world's supply.
I was going to say, I don't think there's a little bit in the northern part of North America.
Yeah.
Right. That's probably the most of the rest. They don't really grow elsewhere, these maple trees.
Exactly. Yeah. So, obviously this is a shortage at the moment, which they've attributed to, like, poor weather, I guess. Like, poor harvest, warmer weather.
Right.
They're struggling to get it. So, anyway, it is, like I said, home of 75% of the world's supply of maple syrup. Also the home of the world's only maple syrup reserve.
Ooh.
Which I imagine as like Willy Wonka's Chocolate River, maple syrup,
or like Glenbourne Dam.
Yeah.
It's a big dam of it, is it?
So have they tapped into the reserves yet, or?
Yeah. So the reserve is at a 16-year low, so it holds up to 60 million kilograms of maple syrup.
We'll be right then. We'll be fine.
It is down to 3 million kilograms.
That's bad. It is still a lot of pancakes, though.
Yeah.
3 million kilograms is a lot, isn't it?
Mm. I think.
And scientists are like, maybe don't fret too much. There is a fair bit of maple syrup here. But in case this, I guess, does fall over, there's scientists in New Jersey. They're trying to cultivate their own maple plant and, like, take over the maple syrup industry.
That's
they've seen
a great
weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And they've gone, we can do this here. We can do it better.
Yeah.
They're trying to make their own, I guess, maple syrup industry.
Interesting. I wonder if we do that over here in Australia, you know?
Just it's not kind cold of enough, unfortunately.
Go down to Tasmania and do it.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, west coast of Tassie.
With, like, the genetic science they do and stuff, you might be able to build a plant that's better off in the Australian conditions.
In
like
a greenhouse?
Like a gum tree that has maple leaves.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Maybe breed.
You just put a bit of romantic music on and you put, like, a eucalyptus in the room trapped in there with a maple tree.
Job's done. That's it.
I assume that's how that sort of stuff works. I'm not a scientist.
They get our nerdiest scientists, like, with the thickest glasses onto it, and surely they can sort this thing out.
Regardless, I feel like whatever trees they come up with will be better than that maple-flavoured syrup, won't it? Keep the science coming.
That is garbage.
You're waking up with the Novos, live across Newcastle and the Hunter. They're local as... 10 on the air now.
So I don't know about you guys, but I've had quite the adventurous long weekend. I've come back pretty, I guess, battered and bruised, for a lack of better explanation.
You've got some war scars.
I do.
Which needs some explanation, yeah. I think.
So you showed us one. Honestly, it's the size of your hand.
Yeah, it's pretty big, and there's, you know, bruises on my hips and like my chest and everything like that. So basically, I did say to you guys last week that I was going to do a little bit of partying, you know, go out on the Newcastle kind of night scene, nightclub scene.
Sure. Yeah, Beaumont Street, tick. King Street, tick. Derby Street, tick.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how it went. So Thursday night was great. You know, went to the Exchange and King Street, whatever, just with a couple of friends, my partner Mitch and whatever. And then on Saturday night, so we had like driveway drinks and stuff at my place, and then one of my neighbours, her name's Kerry, she's one of the resident DJs at King Street, and she was doing her set on Saturday night. So she sent me a message. She's like, "What you doing tonight? You want to come see my set?" So I'm like, "You know what? Yes, I do.
Of course, I do.
I want to go and support my mate."
Yeah, how good.
Yeah, so she drove us in. Her set started at like 9 o'clock or something. She finished up at 12. But where the war wounds come from is the fact that one of the other DJs that I also met, I was moving back and forth between their two sets. So one upstairs, one downstairs and whatever in the main rooms there. And I was able to like get up like near, like next to the DJ decks with the girls and like
and get
dance.
Your phone filming,
no,
get the crowd hype.
Well, yeah, pretty much. I was throwing my hands up in the air like I just didn't care. But also I threw my head around and my body around quite a bit and ended up smashing into like a lot of like the speakers and stuff.
Oh my God.
But the highlight of the weekend was the fact that when I went down to the end of like Kerry's set down on the main stage there at King Street, I locked eyes with her on stage. And she's like, "Yeah, come up here." So I like ran up around the side. I threw my bag onto the stage, tuck and rolled like I was in a spy movie, and like jumping up and down with her on stage. It was great. I was like a free performer.
But so many bruises, though.
There's so many bruises.
At what cost?
Well, I'm glad you've survived, albeit a little bit battered and bruised. One of the big stories, I guess, in technology over the last 12 months has been Neuralink. If you're wondering what the hell that is on a Tuesday morning.
Sounds scientific.
Correct.
That it is.
It's basically a computer that you put in your brain that can use that your brain signals to control another computer. So
yeah, so they've been putting it in people's, I guess the final goal is that people who are like amputees or paraplegic or something can still control a mouse computer and keyboard and stuff just with their brain. This is this is Elon Musk's brainchild, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's the first area, but eventually I think he hopes everyone gets one. So you can control a keyboard, mouse, whatever, just with your brain, and your hands are still free to do other things then.
Very cool.
So he's hoping it'll be as common as like your mobile phone.
Correct. That's his long-term goal.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, obviously, having a computer put into your brain is going to unlock a lot of potential as well. You know, you can do complex calculations without the use of a calculator. Perhaps the future is, you know, solving the mysteries of the universe, complex physics problems, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. The first person to get one, though, has, instead of doing all that, decided to stay up all night playing Civilization 6, the video game.
Oh, what a waste.
8 hours he played for, a long session. The only reason he stopped was because it ran out of battery and needed to be recharged wirelessly.
Your brain with these Neuralinks?
Yeah.
I think that's more impressive than the game thing. Wow.
If you 8 hours continuous use, needs recharging.
Oh, my God. He's like, "Just let me get to the checkpoint, please. I forgot to save.
Just one more go. Let me on."
That's just, I think it's such a waste of that technology. Come on.
It feels like when you're a kid, isn't it? Mum and dad, like, "All right, you're allowed to have your half hour of screen time after you've done all your chores." And once that's done, they just pull out the plug.
Yeah.
I don't think, you'd be able to monitor that at all.
Oh, when I was, like, wanted to get a laptop at some point, I'm like, "I promise I'll use it for schoolwork. That's what I need it."
PC games.
As soon as you get it, you're using it for games.
Solitaire.
Within hours.
He's made the exact same pitch to Elon Musk?
Yeah. I promise I'll use it to solve the mysteries of the universe. Yeah, all right, put it in him. Give it to him. Fine, all right. Straight onto video games. That is just a classic tale as old as time, isn't it?
UFM. The Novos.
Now, it's no secret, guys, that the Newcastle Jets, they're in a bit of trouble, okay? Not really just results-wise, but I'm talking about the club in general. The future of the club, finding a new owner, it's not looking pretty good, is it?
Well, there's been murmurs that the club might fold.
Yes.
Oh, God, please no.
Well, obviously no one wants to see that happen.
Mm. No, absolutely not.
But you're right, the situation with no ownership at the moment has become dire. And fingers crossed someone comes in and buys the club and saves the club soon.
Well, that's right. And what they need now is an actual permanent owner. This is what the CEO's come out to say. Mm-hmm. As the current ones, you know, well, the former ones now, were just kind of like a temporary ownership type of situation.
Yeah, what Shane Matiski said is he said, April's definitely the month. He said that about March and February and January.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, he has probably said that in the past, but he hasn't come out with anything new. But what is the latest development is that someone has started an online petition trying to get signatures to, I guess, save the club. It's called Save the Newcastle Jets, Show Us Your Support. Now,
catchy.
Yeah. Well, that's
took him a while to figure that one out. Really.
This started about, maybe a week ago.
Okay.
So far, they have 667 signatures out of 1,000. That's their next goal. What's interesting about this is not a fundraiser. It's just giving a little spiel on, you know, sign this petition to show your support for the club and prove to any potential owner the value of this club to the people and of the Hunter region.
No.
So it's inspiring, but it's actually just not really doing anything.
It's not yet at four digits.
600 is embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Well, I think maybe just people just don't know about it as well. I feel like if we got the information out there, maybe
that
more people
might help.
Would go on.
But yeah.
It's so easy to find. Like, I've signed the petition, so, you know, you got to keep A-League here in Newcastle.
Well, you do. Sure. I don't know if you guys saw any of the match on the weekend.
Mm. Oh, no. You all, wasn't it, against Melbourne City?
Yeah, it was. Ryan Scott, good friend of the show, Jets legend.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
You did such a good job, eh?
Oh, he played phenomenal. You see stuff like that, and you see his little celebration.
His
little dance after making a double save and stuff. You think, man, this is what football's about.
Yeah.
Let's keep it in our region. Let's keep it here.
Get it. So it's an online signature where, just get involved if you can, because 600 and something.
It's not making a dent, is it?
No. There's got to be thousands at a minimum.
You can't go up to Australia with 600 signatures and go, we have to have our team.
Well, we have
hundreds of supporters.
Well, we need more people to pack the stadium as well for games, but it is looking a little bit sad at the moment. Oh. So we need to kind of rally with the Jets at the moment, try and, give the new, I guess, investor a reason to invest properly.
All right, there you go. You've heard it from Ari. Get on and sign today. Don't worry about working and stuff.
You're waking up with the Novos, live across Newcastle and the Hunter. They're local as. And on the air now.
We are welcoming everyone back to work after the long weekend.
Sure.
Double the length of your regular weekend, if you don't mind. My partner Siobhan and I, we went to the Blue Mountains and we went camping there. Lovely. The weather was beautiful. But what I did notice driving the M1... is there more speed? Have they put more speed cameras in there recently?
Oh, surely, yeah.
What area are you thinking? Or where did you catch it or notice it?
All of them seem to be between, like, Sydney and the Central Coast. Once you get past the Central Coast, you seem to be okay. But there seem to be more. I reckon there used to only be one or two, maybe, in that whole stretch.
Well, they've had two, I think, because, you know, there's just too many accidents happening, people speeding too much.
People be speed.
People do fly down the M1 sometimes.
Yeah, and not enough cop cars, so.
Well, that, you know what? The unmarked cop cars were out in force.
Were they now?
You know, sometimes it's one of the few joys you get as a driver who is law-abiding.
Yeah.
Okay.
When you see, like, three cars in a row all pulled up within like a, you know, kind of a kilometre, 2 kilometre radius.
Yeah.
And you're like, you've been stung, you've been stung, you've been stung. Mm-hmm. Unlucky.
That is, like you said, when you you're driving the limit all day, you're like, oh, these people are flying past me.
Yeah.
And then you see them getting done, you're like, oh, brilliant.
It's very satisfying.
Because there's a lot of times when you're in the car, you're like, God, I wish I could just summon a police car now.
Yeah,
you
know? The cat's his idiot driver.
It's like they were there listening. It was so good. But yeah, I don't know. I just noticed there's more speed cameras than...
You might be right. Be alert and aware.
And safe. On the roads, please.
Yeah. Mostly that.
New FM. De Novos.
Being a morning, the morning food is breakfast, famously.
Yum.
Phew, that was smooth.
Groundbreaking radio.
That's what we do here. Reason I bring this up is there was some debate, I guess, behind the scenes, you know, in the late part of last week, as what's an acceptable food for breakfast? Because I'm certainly of the belief that any food is good for breakfast, especially non-breakfast foods. How's this for a belter on the weekend, right? Mm-hmm. On, I think it was Saturday. They all meld into one on a long weekend.
They do.
I think it was Saturday. I had, for breakfast, fair play, it was about 10:30, 11 o'clock, a piece with some toast. It was a combination of leftover fried chicken.
Yum.
What? Oh, it was excellent.
You can't be doing that.
Watch me.
There was this guy. It used to be. Do you remember? I don't think they run on TV anymore. Biggest Loser. The show used to be on telly in like the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
There was that guy. There was a guy who used to be on there who was like, nothing beats cold chicken in the morning. And I've lived my life with that motto since.
Right.
Now, Ari, you seem to be quite against this.
Oh, 100%. I think that's disgusting. You can't be doing that.
What's an acceptable food then to eat in the morning?
Toast, maybe some cereal, maybe a smoothie even. If you want to branch out and have peanut butter and like jam on toast, I'm okay with that. Like, well, that's fine.
What about like leftover pizza or something?
No, tacos, pizza, absolutely not. You do that, it's blasphemy, and I will not speak to you.
While Siobhan and I were camping over the weekend, one night we cooked spaghetti bolognese.
Oh, no.
I just had cold spaghetti bolognese for breakfast the next morning.
Ew, amazing. Dude, no, you can't. No.
I was like, you know what, there's a little bit left over. That'll do me for breakfast.
Perfect. That is great.
Look, this is why you have set times of the day that you eat. Like, dinner food would be steak and veggies. You wouldn't have that for breakfast.
Breakfast food is a social construct. It's used to, like, put you in this little box and to, I guess, stunt creativity and stunt creative freedom.
Did you not have Healthy Harold when you were younger? My Nova Castrians did. We know how to eat. From WA, you don't count.
What?
How are these shots being fired?
Yeah, pot shot, low blow on a Tuesday morning.
Yeah, because no one can go against Healthy Harold. But still, I think, like you said, Stephen, rules are meant to be broken. You know, and sometimes I think it's okay to have these different foods for breakfast. It's better, in fact. That next day pizza is elite.
Oh,
nasty.
I'm telling you, there's no better luxury in life than pizza the next day.
Yeah. Okay,
what a treat.
Let's do this. 4967-4105. Is it right or wrong to eat non-breakfast food for breakfast? And maybe, like, what is your top tier one? Like, what is your absolute favourite?
Yeah, all right.
Or are you team Ari and you think it's wrong and it should only be, you know, scrambled eggs or pancakes or something?
So boring.
Or toast. What's wrong with toast?
So boring.
Traditional versus non-traditional breakfast foods. Yeah. To Rutherford first, Belinda, what are your thoughts?
Definitely any food for breakfast.
No.
What's your top tier treat? What's the one you absolutely love?
Leftover Chinese.
Oh my God, that sounds great.
Talk dirty to me on a Tuesday morning, Belinda.
My brother does that. He's notorious for it. Loves it. Interesting.
Yeah, a bit of beef and black meat or something.
Oh,
say less.
God. I'm a bit strong for a morning.
I am salivating in studio.
In fact, let's get some right now.
Yeah, order some here.
All right.
We'll go Cessnock next. Andrew, what are your thoughts on this, mate?
Mate, 100% yes.
Come on. Wow. What is your what's your top tier treat, you reckon?
Top tier birthday treat for breakfast, a 4-row slam dinner.
What?
Roast. Are you making roast for dinner? For breakfast, why not?
Yeah.
Do you do that each year on your birthday?
No, my sister and I do it for each other if we're together.
Yeah.
She lives at Moree.
Yeah.
We're at each other's place for the birthday. The non-birthday person gets up early, cooks a full roast dinner.
What a lovely tradition. That I love that.
That's so cool.
That's insanity, that is. Nah, that's crazy.
There's some things that are insanity. That's not one of them. That's just, to me, that just makes perfect sense.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. I
Look,
think
it's
that's
better
so
than
good.
Eating a custard tart for breakfast. I'll give him that. I'll give him that.
You've not found much help. We try and get at least one bit of support for you.
All right.
Sure, let's see how we go.
All right, let's see if there's anyone else.
Let's head over to Dudley with Tracy. Good morning, Tracy.
Morning.
So where do you sit on this fence? Are you pro non-brekkie foods or not?
I'm with the guys.
Really? Okay, what's your food of choice then for brekkie?
Oh, my God, KFC.
There we go. Another one for fried chicken. You know what? I'm going to take that as a win.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the 100% of Novocastrians think that's all good.
Only Ari, the odd one out on an island. Poor Ari.
Now, start of a new week, short week, albeit, but I do want to bring back Newey back in time.
Yeah. I love this segment.
Because in the past, it was Monday, but today is Tuesday. That's okay.
It doesn't matter. We're still going to run it. For people who are just joining us perhaps for the first time, where have you been?
We're a band of rule breakers here.
This is a segment I created a couple of weeks ago. Essentially, you hear some audio clips, all that come from the same year. Mm. It's your job here in studio to try and decipher what year that might be.
Yeah, and you're the quiz master. Ari and myself are the players.
Yep.
And we have different, I guess, advantages. Ari, you're originally from Newcastle.
Born and raised.
Grew up here, so you've got that advantage.
Yes.
Whereas I'm very old.
So you remember lots of
I've
things.
I've lived through more years.
We're the perfect team.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, team or against each other, either way.
Now, first week, there was complaints with too hard.
Yes.
Last week, I think it was too easy. So I'm trying to find a little balance in between.
A Goldilocks situation.
Yeah.
If you will. So what we'll do is we'll play about 30 seconds worth of audio here. I think it's 4 or 5 clips.
Yeah.
And then from there, you guys can kind of work as a team to try and figure out what year they are from.
All right, here we go.
Newcastle Falcons are no more. Fans past and present packed an emotion-charged basketball stadium last night for the side's last hurrah.
Almost 55% of the country said no. Nowhere more loudly than Queensland, 63% voting to keep the Queen.
In South Australia, they discovered the remains of two and perhaps even more people in a disused bank vault in Snowtown.
Tonight, the end of an era as the gates close on BHP's Newcastle Steelworks for the last time.
Whoa, this is an interesting one. Okay, so let's go through what the items were. We've got the Falcons gone.
Okay.
That was a big deal, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But not something because I wasn't in Newcastle yet at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Then did we have a Silverchair song in there as well?
Was it them?
It was a Silverchair song.
Okay.
Do you guys want more hints about around that?
I'm guessing it's from Frogstomp.
It's from Neon Ballroom.
Neon Ballroom, okay. That was one of their big albums.
Well, there you go.
Then we had the voting on the Republic.
Yes.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Then there was the Snowtown murders,
mm-hmm.
or the discovery of them, I guess.
One of Australia's most infamous cases.
Yeah. And then there was the closure of the steelworks.
Yes, in Newcastle.
BHP steelworks.
I slightly ask for a hint.
You can. I'll answer to the best of my ability.
Okay.
Without giving the game away.
Yeah, okay. Was I born when these headlines were a thing? Like,
yes.
26? Okay, yeah. Okay. All so right.
You
it has
were
to be
born.
After 98, Creevo.
Well, that is a good hint.
Okay.
I don't know. I have a feeling that the Falcons is a starting point. That's a good starting point. I think they were gone by like 2001.
How's this? This is more your domain, Ari.
Okay.
So that was obviously the end of the Falcons.
Mm.
Was also the start of that year was the last season for the Newcastle Breakers in the National Soccer League.
This is interesting. As well, I'm just trying to remember, I've seen a magazine in my shop, the antique shop, Crevo's, that had Falcons players on it.
Ooh.
And the glossiness of the paper reminds me of the 90s.
Okay.
So
right, okay.
I have a suspicion that it is before 2000. That's
right.
My suspicion.
Okay. I'm going to shoot my shot here.
Okay.
I'm going to say my guess is 2003. I'm going to go after
three.
Yeah. I don't know why. I'm still a young buck at this time. So, like, I think that I have no idea. So I'm just going to say 2003.
I think I'm going to say 99.
Okay.
All right. Well, I can reveal.
Hang on a second. Let's get some of this going. No prizes on the line here. Although we are the home of only local winners here at New FM.
Just so, glory. The song that finished number one in the Billboard year-end Hot 100 singles that year was Cher's Believe. It was 1999.
Oh, he's got it, done it! The glory! Oh, I am old. I do know stuff from the past.
And you were alive, Ari, but just.
Ari
would have
just.
No memories. No memories
there
of any of this
go.
Stuff actually happening.
Oh, my God. 1999. It was a big year. A lot happened. Newey Back in Time returns next week.
Yeah, we'll do it again.
So fun.
100% locally made. Live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos.
Now, I feel a bit like a broken record because, in case you didn't hear, over the Easter weekend, I went camping. I was in the Blue Mountains with my partner, Siobhan. And it's such a crazy small world because while we were there, we kind of befriended this other group who was staying the same campsite as us.
That's always an interesting gamble, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, they were all very lovely people.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
We won this gamble, absolutely. Mm. Most of them from Sydney. There was a couple in that group, though, who had moved to Newcastle.
Aww.
So that means, of course, you do the little, Newcastle, lovely. What part? They were from Mayfield.
Yo, that is such a small world.
God's country.
Well, instantly I said, oh, Mayfield, yeah, Roy's at 45. You like Roy's at 45? They are best friends with the person who does the writing on the chalkboard at Roy's at 45.
Oh, my gosh.
You are kidding.
I was like, hook me up. Surely. You got the staff discount or something like that? I'm like, unfortunately, no.
Oh, that's a disaster.
What's the point of, branching out there and trying to make friends if it doesn't get you anything?
Well, that's right.
That's a life lesson right there.
Yeah,
kids, if you're listening, if you don't try and make friends, it's not worth it. If they don't give you anything, you don't gain anything from it, don't do it. That's what Stephen says.
Anyway, small world, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Certainly is.
I was hoping to get that staff discount at Roy's at 45. So
happen.
Close.
Hook a Stephen up. Now, for a lot of lucky Novocastrians this weekend, the Easter Bunny came to visit.
Chocolate eggs.
Oh, my God. There's been some good ones.
Treat yourself sick.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're not doing Easter right.
That's it. And the Easter Bunny has, I've found over the years, gotten more devious as to where they're hiding the eggs.
Yeah,
the
smart.
Easter Bunny is just loves hiding them in trickier and trickier spots.
Certainly got more creative.
That's right. So I was talking to my friend, and his kids found an Easter egg in the bottom of the drain pipe.
What? Oh, really?
So they've got like a little, like down the side of the house, the drain pipe just drains out onto the grass at the back of the house.
Yeah,
kind of like a rural property, so it doesn't have to be plumbed in. And it was just sitting there in the bottom, a little golden egg just right there.
Where there's a space, there's a way.
Well, while I was away, some very organised parents had written to the Easter Bunny
and said,
look, we're actually going to be away in the Blue Mountains.
We're
not going to be home.
Yeah.
So Easter Bunny found our campsite.
Ooh.
And I was enjoying the beautiful weather, sitting on the rope swing, and in the tire of the little rope swing, I found an Easter egg.
You got to be kidding me.
That's awesome.
They have gotten creative.
You know what? There was another one. So my friend was telling me that Easter Bunny had put an egg inside the barbecue. Now, luckily, Dad didn't turn the barbecue on because that would have melted. That would have been a disaster.
Oh, my gosh.
You've got to be so, I guess, clever to find all the eggs around Easter, don't you?
Well, if you haven't looked in the pot plants yet, what are you doing? Check that. There'll definitely be one there,
just
I reckon.
Just in case.
So this is what I wanted to do here this morning. 4967 4105. Where is the most unusual or creative spot that the Easter Bunny hid an egg this Easter?
Bit of fun for, you know, to start the week, isn't
That's it? That's
it. Currumbong's where we head first. Carrie, where was the sneakiest place you found an egg?
The Easter Bunny hid the eggs out into the horse feed shed, over the hay bales, and into the top of the opened horse feed bag.
Oh, my God.
You were lucky to find them
there.
Yeah, God. Oh, my That goodness. Is extraordinary.
Sounds like a very extravagant hunt.
Well, you've just got to be looking everywhere, don't you? If you don't suspect a spot, mm-hmm. be looking there anyway.
Yeah,
that's a top tip.
It. All right, let's head over to Madawi with Gabby this morning. Good morning, Gabby. How are you?
Good. Great, thank you, sir.
Good, thank you. Where was the strangest place the Easter eggs were found, I suppose, in your house?
So I have a very creative Easter Bunny. They hid a series of clues around my local suburb, which actually, they even hid a shovel. So I had to dig up part of the local park to find a cache of Easter eggs, which was really cool.
Don't tell council.
The Easter Bunny is getting wild in Madawi.
I guess you're earning your eggs before you eat them, aren't you?
That's right.
Scav hunt.
Getting all your steps in, and then you can enjoy the chocolate. Guilt-free.
That is smart. You know, the Easter Bunny just looks out for you and looks out for Novocastrians. That's what I've found.
Love that.
All right, wrapping things up in Cessnock, Barenna, where did the Easter Bunny hide the eggs this year?
Oh, the Easter Bunny decided to hide the Easter eggs in the oven in the kitchen, and no one found it until the oven was turned on for the lunch.
Oh, you've got to be so careful. There was chocolate melting everywhere, running out on the floor, was it?
It was everywhere. Oh. And when I say you can have chocolate-flavoured pork, you can have that.
What a treat. Well, look, consolation for, I guess, the chocolate getting all over the oven. We'll send you a family pass. How's that?
Off to the Hunter Valley Wildlife Park.
That would be absolutely wonderful.
Ah, you're very welcome.
Perfect.
Only local winners here. Barenna from Cessnock, congratulations.
100% locally made, live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos.
So yesterday I finished up some errands and then in the afternoon, how's this? Went to the stunning Nobby's Beach.
Staple.
And yesterday, it was just perfect. Like, the waves were a decent size, but they were consistent. Ooh. So there was...
You get out over the top.
Yeah, there was no current or rip, really. It was just absolutely perfect. And you know that, like, everyone that was there were the people that stayed in Newcastle for the long weekend.
It would have been packed, though.
Busy enough, but you could just get one of those, you know, parking spots right near the beach.
Oh, right.
It was just
beautiful.
Was, you know, that little bit that's, like, facing onto the beach?
Yeah.
Just right there, just cruise right in, get an ice cream if you want. Oh, my God. It was about as stunning as a Newcastle day could get.
Wow.
I assumed it would have been busy because I saw yesterday an Instagram story from a friend of mine who was having a little picnic up on that hill at Bar Beach.
Oh, yeah.
And that was packed.
You know what? Bar Beach car park, I did go past and it was busy.
Mm.
Interesting.
It must have been drawing people in more for some reason. There for the view, not the swimming, but the water was perfect. Mm. My God, if you can get in this week, do it, is my top tip.
UFM. The Novos.
Crevo, you are under the spotlight. You feel a bit hot under the collar there?
I do a little bit. So for a bit of background, sports in general are a bit of a blind spot for me. So growing up, there was never any of that. It was never on the TV, nothing like that. My parents don't really know about it. I don't know. It's just a complete blind spot.
It's a sad existence.
You're just not a sports fan, which puts you in the minority in Newcastle, for sure.
I would say I've become more interested in it personally as I've gotten older and lived in Newcastle, which is such a sporting town.
Yep.
But, my God, I still know so little.
I thought we'd take that, I guess, blind spot and we'd make fun of you a little bit.
I'm ready.
For the entertainment of Novocastrians.
Well, it's an entertainment show. Let's do it.
In a game which I'm coining Newcastle Player or politician?
Ooh.
So I'll give you a name. It's so simple. All you got to do, Crevo, is tell me if they're a poly, a local poly, or if they're a Knights player.
Okay. All right. And I'll just purely be judging on the name and my gut instinct because I probably won't know them.
All right. First name, Adam Schultz.
Ooh. Adam Schultz. Okay. Now, if I was thinking about the word Schultz, it sounds a bit sort of lawyer or accountant-ish.
Okay.
It doesn't. Adam Schultz has scored a try, a beautiful Newcastle. No, it doesn't sound right.
Doesn't ring, you don't think.
No, it doesn't ring right. So I think I'm going to go politician.
That is correct.
Oh,
first one on the board is a councillor in Lake Mac.
Okay.
Nice.
Whew.
All right. All right,
I'm relaxing a little bit.
Next one
nervous.
I've got for you is Bill Hackney.
Bill Hackney.
This one might be a bit more difficult.
Bill Hackney. Okay, what? I'm just going to run the word, the surname Hackney. Hackney. Hackney makes a kick. That's a beautiful kick. Hackney is here to open this bridge today. Bill Hackney today will open this bridge by snipping the ribbon.
Which one do you think sounds more plausible?
I'm going to go with Knights player.
Knights player is incorrect,
oh,
unfortunately.
No! Oh, no.
Council rep from Maitland City Council.
Sorry, Bill. Oh, God. This is, so I'm at 50% here.
50% at the moment.
One right, yeah. One wrong.
All
okay.
Right, another one for you. Robbie O'Davis.
Robbie O'Davis. Now, right off the bat, Robbie O'Davis. That sounds like somebody who's just done up a new bill for whether a road can go through. Robbie O'Davis has written this information today.
Could be.
The only thing that's holding me back here from going straight away to politician is Bobby. As a like a nickname.
Oh, Bobby O'Davis?
Bobby O'Davis sounds very sporty.
Yeah.
You know, he sounds like he's bouncing, bobbing along. Bobby O'Davis runs down the outside.
Right, okay.
That sort of thing. I'm going to go politician.
Robbie O'Davis played fullback in the 97 grand final for the Knights.
No.
Played right. The one.
So I'm at two wrong, one right.
Right
here.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do one more, shall we?
Okay. We'll do one more, and hopefully you can try and redeem yourself back to a 50-50.
Because at the moment the odds are against me.
All right. Jed Cartwright.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Jed Cartwright today has signed into law.
I love your, like, process, your thought process here.
Yeah.
Well, you know when you see, like, James Spark is an electrician? You go, it makes sense,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
It just, so, I reckon certain names match with certain people.
Certain professions.
Professions, yeah, yeah. Certain names are, basically, I'm like, what's more nerdy here? Doesn't sound like a nerdy name, really. Jed Cartwright. I think, to me, Cartwright could go either way, right?
It's a tough one.
It sounds like that could roll off a commentator's tongue. Mm. No, Cartwright is an absolute legend today. Someone on Cartwright is working in Parliament this afternoon.
Oh,
all right, I'm going to have to press you for an answer here, Crevo.
With a name like Jed, I'm going to go as Knights player.
Jed Cartwright is a second role for the Knights currently.
Yes! At 50-50, I'm going to take that as a win.
You've impressed me. Well done.
I'm either right or I'm wrong.
Cart wrong. As you said, like, it was a long weekend. There were lots of people out and about as well, going a bit of clubbing and having a few boozy kind of nights out.
Yeah, I heard through the rumour mill that Ari frequented both Beaumont and King Street over the weekend.
Two streets, one long weekend.
That's exactly right, and it was great. But with that comes quite sore heads the next day, right? If you have a little bit too much of the lemonades, okay. And that's fine because there's been some suggestions made by celebrities on basically hangover cures, so to help you right. the next day. This was posted on thesquiz.com.au. So some quite well-known people have come up with their solutions. So perhaps you'd like to be like David Beckham. Here's
what does he do?
His hot tip is an Alka seltzer before bed. Don't know what that is.
What
sounds
is
fancy.
It's like a Barocca type thing.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
And then followed by a bacon sandwich in the morning.
You
which
know
is
what?
Interesting.
Bacon's a tick of approval.
Bacon sandwich, pretty good.
Yeah,
and
I would
vitamin
say.
Hit before bed.
I thought as someone who'd been at the top of his field for so long as an athlete, mm-hmm. you'd be like, oh, you got to sweat it out in the sauna or some rubbish.
Go
like,
for a run.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Bacon sandwich, I could get behind.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty standard way of doing it. Or you could go the more hardcore way, like Top Chef Nigella Lawson.
Oh, she is one of my favourites.
What'd she say? Microwave?
Microwave.
Put it in the microwave. He's well, making brownies at 3 a.m.
She does this thing called the prairie oyster. That's not what you think. Basically, it's a mix of raw egg yolk with Tabasco, Worcestershire sauce, brandy and vinegar, and you just down it.
Nice. That's just, she's just grabbing headlines.
Or you could be like other well-known chef, Paul Hollywood. He makes his own bread and butter pudding, and I think that that's probably the best way of doing it as well.
That's a long process, though, if you've got a sore head. You've got to wait an hour before things cooked.
Or just have a bucket load of water the night before, and in the morning you should be fine. Do you guys have any kind of hot tips on how to deal with a sore head the next day?
Hangover cures around the team. Yeah. Stephen, you first.
Whatever leftovers are available in the fridge. Normally, I'm picking off half a Cappadocia kebab off my stomach, which I've fallen asleep eating the night before.
In bed?
In bed, yeah.
Charming. That is the Stephen you know and love. What about you?
Only when Siobhan's away. I'm not allowed in the bed when Siobhan's away.
No, absolutely not. Only when you're on your own. I'm on the kind of similar kind of greasy food route. I'm a Macca's brekkie type of gal. The next morning, it's got to be like 6 hash browns. It's got to be, you know, all the McMuffins.
Keep
yeah.
the hash browns coming.
Yeah, that's
pretty good. Mm-hmm. You go a little bit of greasy food, not too much, but then the key is to get that alcohol digested. You need some sugar, like either a Snickers bar or a bit of ice cream or something.
Really?
And that will get it digested faster.
I didn't know this.
There's a bit of science to get it sorted.
It feels like when you're sick as a kid and your mum's like, here, have a lemonade, it'll make your tummy feel better. It won't, but like, you know, something nice when you're not feeling good.
Right.
No, that's definitely...
Placebo.
No,
placebo.
It's not. The alcohol needs sugar to be digested. Yep. That's the truth.
Well, there you go. Heard it here first.
You're waking up with the Novos live across Newcastle and the Hunter. They're local as. And on the air now.
Okay, so over the long weekend, I sampled Larry's. Now, this is that new place that's opened up underneath the Merriweather, the Beaches Hotel there.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a 60s American-style diner, fish and chip shop all in one.
What?
Yeah, really cool. It's, they've done so well on the vibe. There's all these pictures of, like, surfers from Merriweather in the 70s.
Cool.
There's, you know, the floors, like that black and white checkered vinyl.
Of course it is. Yeah.
They've got...
Ticking all the boxes.
Yeah. They're very, very clever in creating an atmosphere of an old school milk bar in Newcastle.
Very interesting.
Yeah, overall good fish and chips. Not much fish. If you want heaps of fish, go somewhere else. But the taste was good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine dining, I guess. Yeah, well, it's more portions in fine dining.
It's a little bit like flashier, but an old school milk bar vibe.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. And you can get a beer there as well, just from the fridge. It's good atmosphere.
My question with this type of dining experience is, did you have any of those like really extravagant kind of like chocolate or strawberry thick shakes? You know, like the milkshake bar things?
They do have them, I think. It's not it's not my thing. I'm not really into that. But they've got, like, old school stuff like pineapple fritters and things like that.
You don't want milk chocolate with your calamari?
I do. What do you mean?
Milk chocolate? Not today.
Oh, there you go. That's a shame. You're like, something to look forward to, something to go back for.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bit of fun, though. If you're in the area, you want some fish and chips and a bit of a vibe, that's a fun one.
Unfortunately, team, sometimes a situation gets so dire, it becomes a laugh or you'll cry type event.
Oh, I know these all too well.
Well, this is what's happened in the US at the moment. We're coming to the end of the presidential cycle.
Sure.
So people are gearing up for the November presidential election. It looks like, for all money, it's going to be Biden versus Trump again.
Yeah.
Round two.
Yeah. Not 100% confirmed yet, but looks very much the likely scenario.
Sure.
One other candidate, though, has thrown their hand up very late in the race, trying to make a bit of a splash in this presidential election.
Ooh, this sounds exciting.
So former Army veteran and current seventh grade teacher, Dustin Ebby, has changed his name legally to literally anybody else and put his hand up for president 2024.
So his name is those three words, literally anybody and else.
Pictures have gone viral online of his driver's license.
Wow.
He said that people need the option to vote for somebody who represents them rather than the lesser of two evils, which is thrown around a lot come to, you know, Trump versus Biden. Who's least bad? I'll vote for them.
That does, I mean, here's the thing as well. In terms of a resume on paper, it looks good. School teacher, an army veteran, both tough and smart.
And compassionate, you know.
I mean, on paper, it looks good. Plus, he's got this clever name gear going on. I mean, imagine, though, if he actually gets made president.
It's unfortunate because I don't think it's... You don't legally have to vote in the US, do you?
No.
It's not compulsory like it is here.
No.
So if it was compulsory over there like it is here, a lot of people go and do like a bit of a donkey vote. You know, if you look at the ballot paper, literally anybody else is sitting there. If you didn't have a horse in the race, you might just tick it, wouldn't you?
I would, actually. Like, this is funny as. I reckon Americans will really get around this.
And the other thing is, I think there's a general, like, feeling that people are sick of both of those two.
100%.
Oh, exactly. That's it.
They're just exhausted.
Well, I guess the sentiment in a lot of people's mind is, oh, my God, can we please have literally anybody else? Which is why this guy's changed his name to that.
Capitalising on it. Well, all Brilliant. I can say is good luck to him.
Mm.
I hope he gets in because between the two, you know, sleepy Biden and, you know, and Trump, I'm sick of the pair of them, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fingers crossed, who knows? He might make a splash in this presidential election. There's still more moves to be made in this chess game.
Stranger things have happened.
UFM.
The Novos.
The Novos.
And that's us pretty much done for your Feel Good Tuesday.
Yay! We're back and we're still tired.
A short week ahead, which is good.
Well, right throughout the week as well, just because the week's short doesn't mean the prizes are short.
Oh, no.
Every morning, you've got the chance to win yourself a family pass to Hunter Valley Wildlife Park. And, of course, don't forget as well that up to two kids visit free with every paying adult this April.
That's so good.
Want to win yourself those tickets every morning here with us as you wake up. Or if you can't wait that long, New FM's Trivia Temptation is back for your work day.
Ooh,
you can
yeah.
fill up your wallet. Only local winners. That's us done. Have a great day, everyone.
Yeah.
And we'll see you tomorrow.
Adios, I suppose.
Catch you then.
That was The Novos. You want more, right? Sure. Just head to Spotify, Apple Podcasts or newfm.com.au and you can relive all the fun again and again and again.